Welcome to Minstrel and Muse, showcasing music and story. Check us out at minstrelandmuse.com.
Your fear sings, my dear friend, it's holding you astray. Very well may want you to pay. Fountains, flooding hoses, water scarfs, blood and roses.
Welcome to Minstrel and Muse on Real Sisters Talk Radio. I'm your host, Linda Reznicek, and my guest today is a singer-songwriter known as Seattle's indie pop sweetheart. She just started her solo career after writing and performing for other bands like Her, Chicago, Whitney Meyer, the Kyle Gass Band, and Floater. She plays now with her own band, The White Lights, and they just released a new EP called Milk and Rain. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I should say welcome back to the show because you've been a guest before.
Yes, this is true.
A long time ago. In fact, you were talking about this album before it was released.
Yeah, because we did the Jam and Challenge, and that's when I met you, and that was basically when we were just working on our EP.
And you were going to call it Milk and Honey, weren't you?
Oh, we had a few ideas. I think I didn't know what to call it at the time.
But you ended up with Milk and Rain.
Yeah. That's from basically the song called Painting, which is a song that's full of a lot of imagery, kind of like painting. So, yeah. And the line is, like milk and rain, here to sustain.
I like it. Now, you have a lot of different styles in your songs. You say that, you know, indie, obviously, independent, rock, jazz, folk, pop. Mm-hmm. You're a mixture of a lot of things, and you've written for other bands, the ones I mentioned. How long have you been writing music and in the music industry?
I've basically been writing music since I was about 12, was when I really just started taking off in terms of being a songwriter. Professionally writing music, more has happened in college when I went to get a music degree and studied composition in college and got actually trained by my cousin, who is the composer of the Disney music, like Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid. And he personally mentored me in songwriting, and that's when I really feel like I learned the most and felt that I could be a professional songwriter and have the tools that it takes. So, yeah.
So your cousin is Alan Menken?
Yeah.
So you were tutored by the best, somebody who really knew the ins and outs. And what advice did he have for you if he was teaching you? What are some of the hallmarks of what he taught you?
Oh, my gosh. It was just so invaluable. He was basically told me that to write a good song, it's like telling a story. You're capturing the emotion of people. And one of the biggest things I learned, too, is to keep the idea simple, the idea of the song focused on what you're trying to say, because I have a lot of ideas, and, you know, it's just like I want to throw them all into a song, and he basically helped me, you know, just be like, oh, this and that, this and that. But he is really focused on every single note, every single way the notes play together. He builds them. It's a science combined with poetry. He has kind of like a structure to his songs where they go up and then the bridge and then the climax. And
Amazing.
He basically taught me about structure. Yeah, structure of song and also of the ideas to write with. And he basically told me that when I worked with him, I was 20 in college, now I'm 25, but so much happened in that time. But yeah, he basically told me that the good news is that he knows that I have it and that I still needed to find my own voice. So I just kept, he just said, write songs every day, just keep writing songs. And write it, it's an exercise. Even if you don't like it, you can throw it away, but still write songs. So after that, I began really, really diving into writing, and now feel like I've found my own voice. So, yes, I've gone through lots of styles, but
Have you followed his advice?
Coming out. Yes.
Do you write
I
every day?
I I'd love to say that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been writing a lot. Like, since that EP, I've written so many new songs that I'm really excited about that
awesome.
Are, like, of my new style now.
Awesome. Well, let's play one of them off of the album. I want to play Run. I was drawn to Run immediately, as soon as I had you on last summer. And that wasn't the song that you had sent us to showcase. But do you want to tell us about Run?
That Run was when I first moved up to Seattle from being in a cover band in Northern California and kind of just said, hey, I'm going to pursue my original career and run to my destiny.
Nice.
That is my band, The White Lights. It's William Knapp on drums, Steve Nicholson on bass, and Steve Miller on guitar.
Steve Miller?
And I play piano.
Like a Steve Miller
band?
Other
Steve Miller band.
You didn't tell me that.
No.
I mean, just the concept of meeting people who are amazing musicians, who have great personalities, who are willing to play your songs and be in a band with your music is, like, the best thing I could ever ask for.
You said you ran your destiny, but where were you running from? Was it California?
Yes. I'm not running from California.
Oh, no, I know. And that makes it sound bad, but I'm just saying because of the song.
That makes
it sound horrible. She's wanted in California.
California's really big, too. Like, I'm from the Bay Area, but I went to college. Well, first I went to college in Boston, but then I transferred over to Chico State in Northern California. So it's a really small college town. It's really incredible. I mean, it's like this hidden gem, kind of in the middle of nowhere. But you get there, and it's alive and hustling and fun, and just I kind of networked around there, and I feel like our bands. I was in an original band there, but also in a cover band that was like super successful for that area. And we would play every weekend for like 3 hours a night at casinos and make money, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's good to make money.
We no longer lie.
Make money playing music, and it's just kind of like, wow, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I played keyboard, and it was great to learn the songs of other artists and everything. So basically, it was making a living, a stable, steady living, and learning to perform
and play with a band.
Yeah.
That's essential. So.
And performing so often, like. 3 hours a night. I mean, that's like, it's like a, it felt like a sport. You know, you gotta get, you know, it takes a lot of endurance to go through the whole night.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would do like twice a weekend. And it was just definitely great on the brain exercise,
mm-hmm.
as well as performing. I just love being on stage, and it really helped me feel super comfortable on stage.
Yeah,
so.
I can see why. Did you feel like Seattle was going to be the place, though, where you're going to get started on your solo career?
I felt like any place that had a good music scene would launch me. I was thinking of New York, thinking of LA, but Seattle, well, first of all, my sister lives up here, and so I had kind of like someone that I knew, and I went and visited, and the people here are very easy to connect to, very down to earth, very interested in music, but not in a way that's so cutthroat that you can't get started. There are plenty of music venues and ways to get connected really quickly and integrated really quickly into the scene.
Love has the wrong time, but the right place. Glory washed out our stains. It's like I saw.
other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To go to watch your friend play a show, to not feel like there's so much competition, and just that everyone's doing, everyone's playing music. It's the cool thing to do.
At the wrong time, but the right place.
Has more of a, I mean, but I don't know, I'm biased because I live in Washington. It just seems like there's more of a more of an effort to promote each other than I've seen elsewhere.
Yeah, definitely. The person that pops to mind when you say that is the winner of the Seattle Jam and Challenge, Jake Mannering.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is incredible, and we just became such good friends, being the final artist that the Hard Rock Cafe, and he's just so nice and supportive,
mm-hmm.
and just saying, hey, like, you ever need anything or like help, or he promotes my shows, he goes to my shows, and like,
awesome.
I'm just like, oh my gosh, you are such a good person and super supportive.
He is a nice guy. I remember him very well, and I really did like his music. I knew that had to have been a hard decision for the judges, because you guys were all very talented. But that's good to hear that you guys get along so good and you're helping each other out. Let's pick another song off of the album to play. We've been talking so much, we forgot all about the music. We can talk forever. But I imagine the listeners want to hear some of your songs, and I don't want to deprive them. So let's introduce another song.
Okay.
How about Teal Water?
Well, actually, this song is a very unique one. I wrote it after I moved here to Seattle, so it's kind of inspired by the sound over here that I was hearing, and I wrote the music, but my friend actually wrote the lyrics. One of my best friends, Carolyn Lauren, she's from my hometown in the Bay Area, and she sends me poems, and we've been doing this for 10 years. She sends me poems, and it just kind of allows me to play around with them, and I completely mixed around the words to move with the melody that I have. And I was inspired by my cousin, Alan, in doing that, because he writes the music for the Disney music. He writes the music, but he has lyricists. So I was kind of exploring what would happen if I used someone else's words. And I love how she writes about simple ideas like teal water and I'm dreaming of orange cliffs. And that's just such nice color imagery and represents kind of this, I'm willing to travel the world and to move on and to be open to the limitless possibilities of this world. So performing a music video to the song this Monday.
Oh, really?
Coming up. Yeah, it was one of our rewards from the Seattle Jam and Challenge. We won a music video.
Sweet.
That was really Yeah, I know. Sweet deal.
That's a good deal. I think you are the winner then. Did everybody win that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Everybody won.
Yeah, and everybody's a winner because that is amazing.
So the video is, we're going to film it this Monday. So basically I met up with them. It's Utopia Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And they're such a sweet, nice couple. And they were like, okay, we're actually going to do something live. We're going to record you performing to your track live. So basically if they put it to me to find a music venue, well, I happen to work at the Crocodile, so they're hooking us up.
Awesome.
I know, we're just... My buddy is going to be doing lighting, and I'm so excited about the lighting. I mean, because the Crocodile has just amazing sound and lights, and he's, like, working on he's listening to the song. He's going to do lots of teal. We're probably going to do some projector, like, images.
Nice. Well, let's go into another song, then. Let's talk about Block the Heart, because I want to end with painting, which is basically the album's namesake. But let's do Block the Heart next.
Well, basically, about this song, I also wrote it when I first moved here up to Seattle. And it's just kind of the idea of, you know, we always have those people who are competitive or jealous and kind of, they think, you know, I've encountered a lot of those types of people. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, people who are kind of mean and they mean the best. It's just that they think that things are about competition when really there's enough to go around for everyone.
In a world where how we measure time,
together and understand that if we see someone who's successful, cheer them on. Mm-hmm. And you will find that you're successful too.
There's plenty for us all if we're following our passions. Yes. And following our heart.
Exactly. So in that saying, following your heart, my song Block the Heart is about, you know, when it says, these little ploys will only block the heart from its call. Kind of like when you're ploying or trying to manipulate or, you know, trying to bring someone down, all that's really doing is bringing yourself down because mm-hmm. it's blocking your heart from what you can do.
Thank you.
And then the main line, well, it goes, steal my money, steal my mind, blah, blah, blah. Like, steal my money, steal my mind. I've had a lot of people steal my stuff for some reason. That was a series of bad karma.
I'm sorry.
People have stolen things in the past, and what's amazing is that I've always come through, you know? I didn't really lose every time that happened. I gained.
Wow.
So, so it's like, you can steal something of mine, and then maybe you'll suffer from that action a little bit, mm-hmm. and I'm going to grow from it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So,
you know, that there is something to that, because the person who steals does suffer the most. I mean, I shouldn't say suffers the most, but they do. They suffer the deeper consequences, and the one who's stolen from does truly learn. There's a lot of wisdom in that song. Holy cow, I didn't even know all that. I'm gonna enjoy it that much.
I've had kind of like trials in my life, like someone will steal from me just so I can write a song about it.
Like,
what
that's
happened
a great
when
way
I
to look
that
at it.
Somehow I lost $100, but blah, blah, blah. I don't need to go into the details.
That's wonderful. You look at it that way.
It was?
It's wonderful that you look at it that way. That's wisdom. If you look at life that way, nothing can hurt you. You can never be brought down to it.
Bloody, bloody Mary, sounds scary, but she'll cure you, yeah, she's got flesh, don't be scared, don't be scared, let me be the one all the time, to shake your glass.
Let's talk about the song Painting. This is the last song on the EP. This is the title song, mm-hmm. basically. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, that one, that just came to me. The words just kind of flowed out of me. It's a very, a song full of imagery. I view it as talking about a painting and kind of we paint our own realities. We paint our lives. And so it's kind of saying, okay, here I'm painting this picture of saying, hey, this world is really amazing, and maybe in my picture of how amazing the world is, maybe you might feel good about it too, or something.
Nice.
From all the ages, my dear friend, the writer.
for them to contact you, connect with you, listen to your music, find out more about you?
Well, I would say the most direct way is AndreaDesmond.com. And I have a Facebook as well, Facebook.com/AndreaDesmond.music.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to your new music. Make sure you let me know as soon as it gets out, and we'll do another show and showcase it.
And it was so wonderful talking to you again. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Yeah, it's wonderful talking to you as well. To showcase another Seattle band. This one's clearly beloved, and I found that their music was very unusual and very thought-provoking, so hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Minstrel and Muse, showcasing music and stories. Check us out at minstrelandmuse.com.
A man guides none in the black sea, straight when the
Minstrel and Muse on Real Sisters Talk Radio. I'm your host, Linda Reznicek, and on today's show, I have a couple members from a band I recently heard whose music really experiments and plays with sound in a way I found extremely cool. I have Jennifer Smith and Katie Kerkorian. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, you guys, it's going to be hard for me to tell you apart. You guys kind of sound the same.
We could introduce ourselves before we speak.
But now the picture on your website, is that both of you with your heads together?
That's right.
Are you twins?
Oh, right. No, I think we look similar because the hair is woven together. You can't really tell where it begins and ends.
No.
And I think that's why we look very similar in that picture.
Okay. Well, I found your music. It was being played on Seattle Wave Radio, and this show plays on there too, and you came up after my show. And I don't always sit and listen to the music after my show, because after my show, what's your listen? No, just kidding. But I was listening because it was so unusual. I heard the toy piano being played, and I play the real piano, and I've played a toy piano a time or two myself. Yeah. But when I heard that, I was thinking, it caught my attention. I had to listen to everything you did, and then I went and looked at you online and found some more of your music. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got into experimenting with music in the way you did and the band sound and all that?
Yeah, so Katie and Brendan and I went to the same college, and we studied classical music there. Katie plays violin, I play violin, Brendan plays viola, and so that's where we met. We actually met in a string quartet. Well, that's not actually where we met, but at school.
That's when we
started really playing music together as a group.
And Brendan also plays guitar. So in the band, he plays guitar, but he's also an awesome violist. So we played string music together first.
Okay. And what college was this?
Central Washington University. Yeah, so the three of us went to school and we became friends first, and we kind of started playing around. Actually, we started writing Christmas songs, Jen and I, initially, just
cool.
for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan, you know, joined us for a few. We put on some little shows for our friends and family. And Brendan, being multi-talented, would sit and play marimba for us or glockenspiel or whatever sound we felt we needed on the song. and then we became a group. We put on a show called A Portion of the History of the World. That was our first show. And after that, Brendan's friend Andy, who plays drums, heard our music, and he was really interested to play. And Andy's friend Bobby plays bass, and he joined. And about a year and a half ago is when we all started playing together.
Yeah, for the recording, Bobby joined the band and then has,
gone from there.
Okay. So how did you get this sound? How did you get led this direction?
I think the when we began writing, I think the most, they're almost like little stories we were trying to tell more than, you know, more than like composing a piece of music. It was like, I want to tell this little story and give people this particular feeling about, you know, whether baking bread or, you know, being a fisherman,
bread,
whatever it is.
Right.
So then because of that sentiment, we wanted to, we just incorporated any sound that made sense in the context of the story.
Well, I love that. I absolutely love that concept. Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
You're basically telling stories. So you must have been on the same wavelength then, or did anybody kind of lead the way in that, or are you and Jennifer and Katie, are you both just kind of similar?
Yeah,
I'm just laughing because I think our sense of humor is so similar, Katie and I, and just the way that we just kind of became friends telling stories to each other in general. Just like we lived with each other for about a year. And I kind of came together and wrote that and that beginning there, kind of folky, maybe just kind of otherworldly folky. I don't know. He made up like this new country. He was in his head, you know, like I'm going to write folk music from that country.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, so what's going on? Let's see. Brendan's playing guitar on that. And Katie and I are both singing on the second part. After the huge hit where the band comes in. And so the band is in after that. Oh, you know what? We have a piano that is running through a, Leslie speaker. So the piano there, we wanted some.
What's a Leslie speaker?
It's just a speaker. It's just an amp, right?
Right, yeah. That was mic'd to kind of give it a feel of not the pure piano feel, but the kind of the heaviness of that hit. Lo-fi, but like my vocals have a lo-fi mic at the beginning, and then Katie, your vocals
had lo-fi the whole
lo-fi
time.
The whole time, whereas my vocals changed and were
weird.
Yeah. So it was, that song was way more about the texture because we also have the flute coming in, you know, for the solo, and I think I'm also doubling it with the flute solo with my voice to kind of give it an ethereal kind of sound.
So it's interesting, there's a quote on your Reverb Nation page. It was set by Tim Basaraba from Nadamucho.com. And he said, what do you get when you have two female violinists, a guitar virtuoso, and an apron? I don't understand that part in an apron, but and a solid rhythm section. And the answer is one of my favorite bands and albums of 2012. I dare you to play the opening track, Bread, for anyone who loves music. If they aren't blown away, let me know, and I will troll their Facebook page. This is as solid of a six-song debut as I've ever heard. So that's quite a love letter to Bread. All of this experimenting with sound, did you do that before you ever hit the studio?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Basically the studio was, it was fun. Like, some things came out of that, definitely. But, Bread was, fully, formed song and with all the textures we could do live, as much as possible. So we just got to play with that in the studio.
Let's go to the next song, Mesopotamia. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, that's.
I'm really interested in the thought and the different experiments of sound that you guys are doing.
So Mesopotamia, we made a choice to begin the album with Bread, which without strings. And so when Mesopotamia comes in, we wanted that to be more orchestrated and string heavy, and it's just more orchestral. I think it turned out really much different than we thought it would, because live, it's more of just kind of straightforward rock kind of song.
Rhythm, all is covered with spices like me.
Recording emphasizes the quartet feel of the melody at the beginning there, which we had a quartet for that.
Right. Well, when you were playing, when you play live, do you have a hard time imitating some of these sounds or getting some of these sounds into the live performance?
That was something that I was concerned with before we went in. I thought it would be a pity if we couldn't play in our live show what we portrayed on the album.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all were a little conscious of that, and though we added some what we thought were really cool textures in the studio and some things that we couldn't replicate live, for the most part I think we all tried to keep the song so that it wouldn't be you pop in the album and then come to a show and they're totally different experiences.
Mesopotamia. What inspired that song?
That was, well, I'll say for Jen, because Jen wrote the lyrics for that song, and I remember her humming the chorus to me, it telling me these ideas she had in her head for this ancient land and the people who lived there, the smell of the spices in the air, and Jen writes a lot of her lyrics are very textural. They emphasize smell, feel, touch, taste.
Cool.
And
you know, so she kind of captured, when she was explaining the song to me, the feeling of this ancient time where that's so different from the way we live now, but the way the heat might have felt and the people who lived there. And then,
so
yeah.
What is having a cup of coffee together, or you guys, I don't know if you drink tea or coffee. I would guess you drink tea. I don't know, because
yeah,
you seem European to me. Do you? Okay.
I'm drinking tea right now. That's
oh, see, I guess it. But I would guess that you two drinking over tea would be quite an experience if we mic'd you.
Oh, that would be awesome. I think, yeah, a lot of it, yeah, probably brought on by reading and just
escaping
yeah.
into little worlds that you create.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, the idea that you guys braided your hair together, too, that shows a real closeness, you know, in the two of your friendship.
Right. Yeah, that's, I told Jen after that photo shoot, I was like, I really like that our faces were so close together. It was just kind of fun, and I think we just spent so much time together starting in college that, you know, I think there's pretty much, we could do anything with each other, and we would be okay with it, you know?
That is awesome. I mean, it sometimes when people are together a lot, it pulls them apart, but you guys seem like you're closer together.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I've never in my life been happy to leave Jen. I'm always inside.
Really? That is amazing. I am amazed. Let's move on to the next song, Dear John, because this one has toy piano, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it has toy piano.
It starts with the typewriter doing a rhythm that the toy piano joins, and then that's kind of the transition.
John usually means it's a breakup song or a breakup letter. Something.
Well, so we had a show,
A Night of Pleasant Correspondence.
Oh, yes, A Night of Pleasant Correspondence. And so we wrote a couple things specifically for this show. The writer's kind of confession of, you know, I'm the one that cuts you down, but you build me up. You know.
Captain. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was about a desire to live a life on the sea, another escape.
Yeah, Katie wrote this song. Weren't you walking back and forth from class? Like, she would write a little bit in her head every day as she walked, and it was her, like, little escape.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She came with this song to the band, pretty much all worked out.
So you just kind of passed the time as you're walking, writing your song in your head?
Right. I had to take some extra classes, and the walk was, you know, pretty significant, and I looked forward to the walk because a little piece would come together, you know, with the feel of your footsteps as you walk, and then, you know, little pieces, I'd hum them and either keep them and try and memorize them or throw it out and, you know, keep writing, put the lyrics together and, you know, picture what a sea would feel like if you were on a boat. What's the feeling of a fisherman, someone who fishes for life? What would that feel like?
Mm-hmm. Now, did you take any poetry classes or literature? Are you kind of music / poets?
I would say we spent a lot of time I spent a lot of time writing before. I think Jen did too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, journals and kind of poetry when I was younger, but I don't think we've ever taken many classes. Little story. We used to write little stories often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really?
I kind of was drawn to poetry and, yeah.
I
took one class or something, and it was, yeah, I love it.
Well, let's go ahead and go to the next one, Carrier Pigeon.
Yeah, that was written, I think, for that same show we did, the Night of Pleasant Correspondence. That idea, I think Brendan kind of came up with the idea that, you know, what if it was, hey, write a song about, oh, a carrier pigeon.
Yeah, Brendan yeah. actually said, he told Jen one day, you know what surprises me is that you don't have a song about a carrier pigeon.
that really surprises me.
Right. And then Jen said right there, or Brendan told the story later, that Jen was like, wait, I have it. I have a song about a carrier pigeon. She wrote it down.
Now, who are your musical influences?
Everyone in the band kind of has a different style that they're inclined toward. I really like folk music a lot. I love Irish music and fiddle music, and I really like Anahita DeFranco because of her lyrics. You know, writers who have really poetic lyrics I enjoy. Brendan.
Brendan went to school and got his theory and composition BA, so he's just all over the map with what he likes. I mean, there's, you know, we all, I think, are influenced by, like Frank Zappa and Mike Patton, anything he does. As far as, I feel like I'm influenced, I mean, we're all influenced by classical and, you know, there's times where we're thinking, okay, let's write an Arvo Pärt part here and, mm-hmm. you know, a Vaughan Williams, you know, part here. And then I think what's interesting is we're trying to take that and put it together with more heavier sounds, rock. And I think it's just we're thinking orchestration constantly and textures. And so,
right.
See, there's got a huge variety of influences here. And that's what we're hearing in the music, it sounds like.
So Andy and Bobby are also in another band. So, like, Bobby actually plays guitar in this prog kind of rock metal band, and so he's coming from that. And then Andy is just has, you know, such experience playing in rock bands and loves, you know, everybody loves Soundgarden, you know, just all that. It's just, yeah, everything and anything, I guess.
And nothing is off limits to you guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
So when did you graduate? Let me get a feel for your time frame here that you've been out, you know, doing this.
I graduated in 99 along with Wait, you from college?
Yeah, college.
Not 99. What am I talking about? That's
high school. 2004. I graduated 2004.
I'm so good.
2005 is when we graduated.
Hey, yeah. When did you graduate elementary school? Not just kidding. Okay, so 2004. You guys have been out of school for a little bit now. Now, that leads into the last song, Desiderium Vestri. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, a man who studied Latin told me it's Westry, but it has a
Westry. So we're going to say Vestry. He's probably right. What does that mean exactly? Is that the city I am building is for you?
From what I understand when I was researching it, it means longing. It means longing for you. And the whole sentiment, I guess it's more of a sentiment. It's set back in like kind of Romanesque times in ancient Rome. But the feeling was supposed to be longing. And it's funny with that song, I think there are multiple little stories. Sometimes I'll tell Jen, like, I really feel like, I feel about this song that the man speaking this song is actually... And then I'll, you know, there's like a new idea, you know, and sometimes Jen has a different idea than what we had when it was originally written.
Desiderium Vestri off of, or Westry, off of The City I Am Building Is For You. I have Katie and Jen on the line. So what are the plans for Clearly Beloved after this album? Are you putting together another one?
Yeah, ideally we would have loved to go back in like a few months later and lay down some more tracks for another album. We're still working on that plan. So right now we've been playing shows in the Seattle area. We have a show coming up in a couple weeks, and we're actually traveling down to Berkeley, California, June 21st.
They like you down there.
Yeah, we're excited.
Well, how has your response been when crowds hear you? Because your music's not typical, so if they want just like, you know, your typical folk, your typical country western, it's not that. It's going to push the boundaries, and it's going to make the listener really have to stretch and think and experience something. So what's their response been?
It's been good. I think that because of the storytelling, and we try to incorporate some visual aspect, and it's props or something. We're still trying to figure that out. But, I think people are pretty engaged and pretty welcoming, and it's been really nice, actually.
I bet. They probably feel like they've actually experienced something. Your music's an experience.
That's awesome. That's a great goal we had.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear what you have next. I'm super excited to follow your progression as a band, and you have a fan here. I'm a big fan now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on the show and just giving us a little walk through this album.
Thanks for having us. Thank you so
much. Oh, and if they want to find out more about you, then go to Clearly Beloved.
Clearlybeloved.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and Reverb Nation. We have a YouTube channel that we have a second music video coming out this week.
Yeah, actually this week.
Okay, you guys, Jen and Kate, have a great day today over in Seattle.
Linda, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.